Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll continue our study for Quran chapter 11, which is titled The Book of Hud, as if there was some prophet by the name of Hud. Obviously, as we have seen so far, the name of the chapter could mean nothing about what the chapter is all about. A good example of that, chapter 10 was called the Book of Yunus, which is the wrong name for Jonah in the Quran. We discovered there was only one verse, and when we read that one verse, we learn nothing about Jonah, but you will learn about Jonah more in depth in another chapter, which has nothing to do with the title Jonah. Chapter 11 is named Hud, and you may assume that you will learn a lot about Prophet Hud, when in reality, we're going to learn more about Prophet Noah than that of what we're going to learn about Prophet Hud. And once again, let me remind you that Muhammad loved to repeat his stories all over the Quran. Yes, the story of Noah is written all over the Quran. I'm talking about the name Noah, or some portion of the story of Noah is repeated in the Quran 43 times. Imagine with me, you read about Noah in the Bible, not only in the book of Genesis, but in 43 locations all over the Bible. More important, we have a full chapter named after him. That is chapter 71. And when you read that chapter, you learn more about Noah than you can imagine, which is obviously a made-up story by Muhammad in the Quran. But for the sake of time today, I will concentrate on the first portion of the story of Noah. And that is what we read between verses 25 to 41 of Quran chapter 11. And the story goes as follows. And indeed, we sent Noah to his people. Surely I am to you a blame warner. Notice here, Allah is telling us that Noah was sent to his people, like there were different people on the earth, and Noah was only sent to his own people, his special people, not to all the earth, but to his own people. In verse 26, that you do not serve except Allah. Surely I fear a painful torment day for you. Now, when you read these words of Noah, especially when you add what is written in Quran chapter 71, how Noah was talking to his people and what he was saying to his people, it does not make any sense. Why? Because even the Bible, the book with more details than Muslims can handle when you compare it to that which is written in the Quran, does not say that. Moses did not write us such conversation between Noah and his people. But let's continue in verse 27. So the leaders of those who became infidels from his people said, excuse me, what? You mean the infidels in Noah's people have their own leaders to represent them? Maybe a bunch of congressmen or bunch of senators or bunch of mayors? What is that? Muhammad have a great imagination to set the story of Noah in Quran chapter 11. And what did he say here? We do not see you except a human like us. Oh, excuse me. Did Noah say that he's more than a human? Continue with the verse of the Quran. And we do not see any who follow you except they are the lowliest of us at first thought. Oh, that is a great insult to Noah himself. But obviously from the reading of the Quran, as we see later from the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir and others, actually there are plenty of people who believed in Noah. There are 80 or 75 or whatever other number you would like to pick for how many people believed in Noah. But according to the Bible, only Noah's three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives, and Noah's wife, eight people were saved from the flood in Noah's ark. But if you believe what Muslim scholars said, yeah, it makes sense that a bunch of people believed in Noah and they were not so smart and they were the scum of the community in one way or another. The leaders of the infidels continue to say, and we do not see that you have any favor over us, yet we think you are liars. Wow. How in the world Muhammad can come up with this great details of information in the story of Noah, when in reality he never gave us any detail about any other story in the Quran? And does this detail make any sense? Obviously, it's a made up. The entire Quran verses is made up, as we're going to prove to you as we continue in our study. In verse 28, he said, that is Noah, "Oh my people, have you seen that if I were with a proof from my Lord, and he has given me mercy from himself, so it was hidden from you, can we force it on you while you hate it?" Excuse me, what proof did Noah have for the infidels or the leaders of the infidels of his days? The only message Noah had for the people of the earth for 120 years while he was building his big ship is that the rain is coming. He have no proof whatsoever. And by the way, if you have never seen rain before and you see somebody building a huge ship in the middle of the land, you may immediately believe that the man lost his mind. Because people, if they're going to build a ship, they build it close to the water, and it will be not that huge ship as we see the size from the Bible. But by the way, in the Quran, you have no idea what is the size of the ship, or what was it made of, or how long it took Noah to build, or who actually believed in Noah and entered it, or, oh, you know what? If you can figure out what I'm trying to say here, it's very simple. Muhammad does not know anything about Noah or Noah's Ark, but he can give us this unbelievable information about Noah and the infidels or the leaders of the infidels of his days, to the point that he mistakes that Muhammad was actually sitting there hearing the conversation and rewrite it for us. And I love it here in verse 28 that Noah is telling his people he will not force these truths against them. He gives them free will to choose to believe in Allah or not. Something Muhammad himself did not offer to his people. In verse 29, we read, "And oh my people, I do not ask you money for it." Once again, that is the dumbest repeated statement in the Quran, not only by Noah, but it's also by Abraham and by David and by every made-up prophet of Muhammad throughout the pages of the Quran. All these prophets do their work for free. They don't ask for salary. Excuse me, Mr. Noah, you know that that earth you're standing on is about to go under the water. And all what you're going to have is you and those who believe in you, that is your family, and the animals which you're going to have on the ship. So what are you going to do with money? You're going to save some money for later to open some bank on planet Earth? Do really people have money in such days? Answer obviously is no. So what wages Noah is talking about? Noah said to them that my wage is only except from Allah. Allah is going to pay him. Yes, indeed. Allah is going to write him a big check so he can put the money in the bank of Noah on planet Earth. Noah continued to say, "And I will not drive away those who believe." Excuse me. According to the great Muslim scholars, Noah need to get rid of 80 people or so, those who believed in him. But according to the Bible, Noah have to get rid of his own 3 sons and his own 3 daughters-in-law. But listen to the reason why Noah could not get rid of the people who were, as we said earlier, the scum of earth who believed in him. It says here, "Surely they will meet their Lord." Oh, the people believe in Noah, they're going to meet their Lord. "But I see that you are an ignorant people." Wow. First, the people said to Noah, "You're a liar." And now Noah is insulting back and saying, "You're ignorant." What a great conversation between Noah and the people of the earth. Let's move on to verse 30. "And oh my people, who will give me help against Allah if I drive them away?" You see, I cannot kick all the scum people who believed in me out of the boat, because if I do that, Allah's gonna punish me. Nobody can help me against Allah. So I'm stuck with them. I know maybe they're stupid, but I have to keep them on the ship because I cannot stand up and fight Allah if Allah will come to harm me for doing so. Do you not remember? Do you not remember what? You see, the Quran, my friends, is a book, as I always say, dumb for dummers. The conversation between Noah and the infidels of his days does not make any sense. Do you not remember? You remember what? In verse 31, and I will not say to you that with me are treasures of Allah. Oh, remember what the Arabs asked Muhammad to prove to them that he is a prophet? That is when they told him, well, bring us a treasure. Be rich. Show us that you are worthy to be followed. And obviously Muhammad at this early days when he was living in Mecca, he was not rich. He did not begin yet the invasions and collecting all his great spoils. He was poor. So what Muhammad will say here in Noah's story? Oh, I'm not the only one who is poor. Noah also was poor. Noah said he did not have any treasure.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that, upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straightway of Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Continue with Noah's word in verse 31. He said, nor will I know the unseen. Excuse me. You destroyed Noah's account by that one simple sentence. Yes, Noah knows the unseen. Yes, Noah believed in God. Yes, Noah knows that the rain is coming. Something no one have ever seen or heard of before. If Noah does not know the future of the rain coming to this world to flood the entire earth, why in the world did he build the ark? That big ship, it was a great evidence that he knows what is coming, the judgment of God, that the flood will cover the entire earth. Noah continued, and I will not say that I am an angel. Who said he's an angel? Noah continued to say, and I will not say to those whom your eyes scorn that Allah will not bring them good. The people who believe in me, the 80 plus whatever number you want to believe, the scum of the society, the uneducated, the poor or whatever. I do not know really what Allah is going to do to them. So I'm not going to tell them that Allah will not bring them good. Who knows? Maybe Allah will make them rich. Allah knows best what is in their souls. Then surely I would be of the unjust. I'm not going to kick these people out of my ship. I do not know what Allah will do to them, if he will bless them or not. And I'm not going to do that, because if I kick them out, then I will be of the unjust. The whole point here is this. Noah's people, those who did not believe in him, did not like the sum of people who believed in Noah. And somehow they're making a deal with him. If you kick all these people out of your ship, we will come in and we will believe in you. When in reality, the whole story is a made up. It is nonsense. In verse 32 we read, they said, these are the leaders of the infidels, oh Noah, indeed, you have disputed with us. So you dispute much with us. So bring on us what you promise us if you were of the truthful. Okay, so far when you read the Quran, you have no clue what Noah told them. Obviously, from the biblical account, we know that Noah said the flood is coming, the rain is coming, everybody's gonna drown in the rain. But in the Quran, we don't know. But They actually took his challenge very good. Go ahead, Noah, make our days. Bring the judgment you're talking about on us. Then we continue in verse 33. Noah said, surely only Allah will bring it to you if he wills. You mean he maybe will do it? He maybe will not do it? I don't even know why in the world Allah put the word surely in the sentence. When we go to the Bible, did Noah said, maybe God will do it, maybe God will not do it, or he knows that the rain is coming. The judgment of God is coming. Continue with the statement of Noah, and you will not be able to escape. Well, that is a very important piece of information. And we really, really need to read in the Quran. In verse 34, and my advice will not profit you. If I desire to advise you, if Allah was desiring to seduce you, he is your Lord, and to him you will return. Excuse me. What in the world Noah is talking about? Noah could not help his people. That is, if Allah desired to seduce him. Do we read in the Bible such foolish statements? The entire story so far is fabricated. And obviously, according to the Bible, we know that Noah was the preacher and the warner for all the people for 120 years. And no one listened to him, except obviously his three sons and his three daughters-in-law and his wife. Did Noah say in the Bible that God is a seducer and he will cause some people to be drowned? Of course not, because that does not fit with the true nature of the God of the Bible. But from the Bible, we know that Satan does, whom we actually believe to be Allah, the God of Muhammad. Noah continue in the end of verse 34 by stating, he is your Lord and to him you will return. Really? The people of Noah who did not believe in God, who were mocking him according to the Quran fabricated story, belong to Allah? He is their Lord? Now verse 35 is a little bit strange. Why? Because I believe Muhammad was talking about himself. Somehow he forgot that he was talking about Noah. That is when he said, or do they say he forged it? Who are they? Who forged what? I only know of a one man by the name Muhammad who forged the story of Noah from the Bible in his counterfeit, the book of the Quran. Then we read, say, if I have forged it, so my crime is on me, and I am innocent from the crimes you commit. You see here? You know. Is it Muhammad speaking here or Noah speaking here? Because obviously, there's nothing to be forged. The message of Noah is original. He was not copied from some other book to forge. In verse 36, we read, and it was revealed to Noah that none of your people will believe except those who have believed. So do not grieve at what they were doing. None of them believe except those who believe. Who are the ones who believed? I challenge a Muslim scholar, not the naive Muslim gullible in planet Earth, but I'm talking about the best of the scholars of Islam to give me the list of the people who believed in Noah according to the Quran. And Allah is telling Noah what? So do not grieve at what they were doing. What were they doing? The made-up conversation between Noah and his people as Muhammad forged the story of Noah in his Quran. Verse 38, so while making the ship, whenever leaders of his people passed by, they scorned him. He said, if you scorn us, surely we will scorn you as you scorn. Wow, what a great conversation between the prophet of Allah, Noah, and the infidels of his people. Verse 39, so you will know who will receive torment. It will shame him and will dwell on him a lasting torment. Obviously, from reading such a verse, you may think that Noah does not even know what is coming according to the verses of the Quran. In verse 40, until when our command came and the tanur, that is the word oven, non-Arabic word of Persian origin, until the oven gushed up, rised up, that is like the froth on milk. When you heat the milk and it rises up, we said, we here as Allah, carry in it from every pair too. Let us talk about the timing here. Imagine me, it took Noah 120 years to build his ark, but he did not put any animals in the ark until the rain came down and the water started rising up on the earth. Does this make any sense to you? That shows you that Allah is nuts or Noah is stupid. They told me that Muhammad was a very good salesman. He was very faithful in his work. But from looking at all the numbers in the Quran, I came to the conclusion that Muhammad did not know how to add even two simple numbers. He did not know anything about math. Why? Because if you know math, pair is two. And Allah asked Noah, after the rain came down, after the water started rising up, imagine that was me, go ahead, Noah, put in the ark from every pair two. So take two of the pair of dogs and two more. That'll be four from every pair two. That's the wrong number. Because obviously, according to the Bible, Noah took two of each kind of birds and animals, of the unclean. As for the clean, he took seven pairs. But oh well, Muhammad forgot to read that story in the Bible, nor did those who helped him to write the Quran bother to examine or investigate what Moses wrote by his own hands about Noah in the true biblical account. Well, in our next broadcast, we're going to be examining some of the problems which Noah faced in gathering these different creatures in his ark, and how Allah, in his wisdom, was able to help him to get rid of these problems. As we will also discover who made it on the ark and who missed it. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.